Let me again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. Again, I know we say it, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. There's an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. If you didn't receive one already, very welcome. We've kind of asked brethren to look around. Please share if you see someone that did not receive a bulletin. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning. All the verses that were read surround this one single verse that we have in John 3, verse 16. It's been called the golden text of the Bible. Some people refer to verse 16 of the Gospel of John as the Bible in miniature. It's one of the most well-known verses of the Bible, and yet also one of the most misunderstood. The text said in John chapter 3, I'm going to read the whole thing, but beginning of verse 14, from that Old Testament story, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, to that Old Testament story, then Jesus still talking, says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. There's a parallel verse also in the book of 1 John, also authored by the Gospel of John writer, John, says, in this was the love of God manifested. All right, God's love, this is what we say. In this was the love of God manifested toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the sin offering for our sins. In our lesson this morning, we're going to analyze that single verse, verse 16 of the Gospel of John, one that we're so familiar with. So let's take a look at each phrase and gain a lesson or just a little remembrance from it. First of all, we have God. I put in your notes, the greatest lover. In the text we just read in 1 John 4, verse 8, says, God is love. When we think about love, God embodies it. It's his character. It's his disposition. It's his essence, his attitude, his action. God is love. And we're introduced in that verse 16, God. In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So it says, behold, the manner of love from the Father. God, the greatest lover. Second phrase in the text, it says, he so loved. God so loved. The greatest degree or the greatest measurement of love. When he says so loved, I mean, God's love is the best. It's the tops. It's matchless. There's none greater and there's none better. When God so loved, it's beyond casual. God's love is, oh, so loving. So loving. In Romans 11, verse 33, Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We can study, and we do, we study, but we never comprehend the whole. Matchless love. God so loved. There's a song in our book. hymn number 382, and it asks a question. Why did my Savior come to earth? And then the hymn writer gives the answer. Because he loved me so. God so loved, so loved. He said he gave his precious, this hymn writer concludes, he gave his precious life for me. For me. Because he loved me so. God so loved. The next phrase is the world. Oh, the greatest company. See, human love is limited. My love can't help a world of people. It can't do it now, and it's impossible to do in the future. My love is limited. It's to those around me or those that I come in contact with. But God's love is different. God's love is unlimited. God so loved the world. That means it's a world of people. It's everybody for all who live now and who will live. God so loved the world. He loved the good, the bad, the rich, the poor, the wise, the otherwise, unwise. In Romans 5, verse 8, God commends his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world. When God so loved the world, there wasn't a lot there to attract his love. There was a lot to repel his love. But God so loved us while we were sinners. The verse continues, ungodly. When people didn't have God in their sights. God wasn't a priority. Some even rebelled against God. But God so loved a world of people. And that's all of them. Loved us all. God, the verse says, so loved the world. The next phrase is that he gave. He gave. That's the greatest action. God did more than just give us a shout out. He didn't just, the heavens didn't open and the voice from heaven boom out, I love you guys. Well, fine, I appreciate hearing that. But God so loved the world, he gave. Gave. That's demonstrated love. That's love in action. That's love that's proved. That's love that's undeniable. And none of us can say, God, you don't love me. You don't care about me. We can't say that. Because the verse says, he so loved us that he gave. He gave. Don't you want to hear more from your family or loved ones than just, I love you? We want a demonstrated love. Show me. We want show, as a kid say in elementary school or preschool, it's show and tell time. I want more than God just telling me about his love. I want a demonstrated love, and that's in the verse. God so loved the world, he gave. Oh, the next phrase. His only begotten son, the greatest gift. That deserves our thanks. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God, how can you do that? But you did it. Unspeakable gift, immeasurable. I can't comprehend all that. The world should be giving thanks to God for the love that he gave. And many do not. You ought to be hard-pressed to give the life of one of my sons for your benefit. In fact, I can't do that. Can't do it. And it doesn't work that way. However, you know, I can think I can give you a kidney. I can give you an arm and a leg. I can give you a dollar. I can give you the time of day. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's impossible for us to match that gift. That's the greatest gift of all. Then the verse continues. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity. It's an open invitation to everybody. Whosoever. And but at the same time, it's personal, isn't it? It's one and all. Whosoever. It reveals the impartiality of God's love. It's the phrase, y'all come. Y'all come. When I was at Harding University years ago, I was from Michigan, but when I got down there, they would say, y'all. All the time. And from, especially those from Oklahoma or Texas. Y'all. I was in a group one time, and someone was talking there, and they said, y'all come over after the movie or whatever it was. And I looked at somebody else and I said, are you going? And they said, I wasn't invited. I said, sure you were. They said, y'all come. They said, no, he was talking to you. If they meant everybody, they said, all y'all.
Oh.
All y'all come.
All y'all.
And that's the invitation. Whosoever will, all you all come. You're not excluded from the invitation. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all you all should come to repentance. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to all y'all. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All. So the verse we're looking at this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, it's an invitation for you and for me, take it personally. God's inviting me. Then he said, whosoever believes, the greatest condition or the greatest choice. You see, believing is a fundamental requirement to avoid perishing and losing out on everlasting life. But it's interesting, the verse does not include a couple words. It doesn't say, whosoever believes only, or whosoever believes alone. The word. Now remember, Dennis said in his introduction to the scripture reading, Jesus' words in our text go back to that Old Testament story in Numbers chapter 21. What's in that story that Jesus wants us to remember about John 3:16? In that Old Testament story, God provided a way for the people to be healed from the bite of the serpents, the poisonous snakes. And in verses 8 and 9 of that Old Testament story, God had Moses put a fiery serpent on a pole. And those who were bitten by the poisonous snakes had to look on that serpent on the pole to have their life saved. It wasn't enough to just believe that a serpent on a pole would heal them from the snake bitten snake bite. They had to go look at it. If a snake-bitten person stayed in their tent, believing only, they would have stayed snake-bitten. They would have died. Verse 8 says, when he looks thereon, he shall live. So just believing that that there's a brass snake on a pole for me to look at, I can be healed. If I don't go look, I'm not healed. But I believe if I go look, I can be healed. I believe that that snake on the pole will heal me from my snake bite. But I have to go look. Not believe only. And that's the story Jesus references in John 3:16. Whosoever believes. But it's not believe only. Let me take that a little bit more. This verse does not mention other requirements made by Jesus to avoid perishing. For example, in John, repentance is not mentioned in John 3:16. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, refers and says, except ye repent, ye'll perish. Now the word perish is in both verses. Luke 13, verse 3 and John 3:16. Repentance is in John is not in John 3:16, and believing is not in Luke 13, verse 3. Yet both verses refer to perishing. It's not that we have to choose one verse over the other. You have to choose both. You have to believe and repent to avoid perishing. That's what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, before Jesus is ascended back, he connects believing with baptism to avoid perishing. He said, Jesus says, go everywhere, whosoever will, tell everybody the story. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Oh. But yet in Acts 2, verse 38, it connects repentance and baptism to be forgiven. Repent, they cried out, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, whosoever will, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, or healing. Now, which is it? Repent and be baptized, or believe and be baptized? It's not to choose one or the other. It's both. The word believe, or whosoever believes in John 3:16, does not exclude repentance or baptism. Whosoever believes. Not believe by itself. Believe only. No, there's other words that Jesus connects with salvation and freedom from perishing. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, does everything, believes, shall not perish. The next phrase is, believes in him. The greatest attraction. There's a story in Jesus' ministry. It's in John chapter 6, verse 66. It says, from that time, Jesus' disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus had just given a lesson concerning discipleship, and some of the people in the audience thought, oh, that's a hard saying. I'm not going to believe that. I don't like what Jesus just said. What Jesus said doesn't agree with the way I think. So they decided to leave. We're not going to follow. They went back and they said, I'm not following Jesus anymore. So then Jesus said to the 12, those that remained, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Good question. To whom shall we go? Who are you going to run to? Oprah Winfrey? Dr. Phil? Who are you going to run to? Peter continued, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Whosoever believes in him, next phrase, shall not perish. Perish. The greatest promise. Not perish. The word perish has reference to everything that's involved in hell. The word perish has reference to eternal torment, punishment, tribulation and anguish, everlasting destruction, eternal separation, weeping and gnashing of teeth, fire and brimstone, outer darkness, second death. Whosoever believes in him, but not believe only, there's more. Jesus said, repent and be baptized. Jesus said it. I don't want to perish. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. We escape that eternal condemnation. The love of God says that we can avoid that demise. That's our faith. Then the next phrase is, instead of we should not perish, but have. That's the greatest certainty. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have. I'd like for you to have this. What does that mean? Take. If you have it, it means you've received it. You possess, you obtain, you hold on. And the last phrase is, have everlasting life. I want that. I don't want to be perished. I want to be saved from the wrath of God. That's the greatest possession. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. God promised eternal life. In 1 John 2, verse 25, this is the promise that he's promised us, even eternal life. I don't want to perish. I want eternal life. So I want to believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, me, believes in him and all that he said to, should not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. That's the lesson. That's the invitation. Interesting. One last phrase. I didn't put this in your notes. But in John 8, verse 30, says, Jesus spake these words, and kind of listen to that. Jesus spake these words. Many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Well, he didn't say, if you just believe only. The verse said, Jesus spoke to those Jews that believed. They believe. But then he said it, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. See, discipleship is more than just believing. It's doing what he said. I want to believe what Jesus said in the book. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in Acts 2, verse 38, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the elect are called. The verse continues with many other words. He testified, exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. In verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, the Lord added to the daily those who were being saved. Who are those who are being saved? Back in verse 41, those who gladly received his word and were baptized. That's the invitation. It's to whosoever. You will do that. Not just believe. Repent and be baptized. Let's stand and sing the song that dances to the Lord. And that's the invitation we extend, so we invitation song. So while we're singing the song, if that's your desire, repent and be baptized. We accomplished that this morning. Just need to come to the front and let your request be known while we're singing this song.